Hello, okay. I'm on, thank you. So your worship team were just great. They did such a great job. And I just felt the Spirit so much when you shared with us about the Holy Spirit coming and sitting next to you. And I felt him come into the room then, did you? Just the presence of God. I just want us to start with welcoming the presence of God. And let's just get full of the Holy Spirit, church, for this moment. Almost just to stand in God's presence for a moment, because this is about him. It's his church, and we want to welcome him. Come, Holy Spirit. Why don't you just put your hands out, because we're all going to be involved in this, you know. It's not just what happens at the front. So get full of the Holy Spirit yourself. Holy Spirit, will you just come? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just let him come. Just let him come and sit by you today. Let his presence just manifest around you right now. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you right now, Lord. We need you to help us. We need you to anoint us. We need you to fill us. Lord, we want you to release joy in the place today and celebration. Thank you, Lord. Bring healing today, Lord. Do whatever you want to do, Father. But Father, we're open to you to just receive from you right now. We worship you, Lord Jesus. And just want to say together, this is your church. We offer ourselves to you again. This is Jesus' church. It's not Adrian's, it's not Tristan's, it's not even Dave's. This is your church, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, please do take your seats. So, last time we were here, we were doing your family night with you and sharing about the process for the appointment of elders. And we were sort of explaining to you that elders need to be recognized by the body. We don't impose elders on churches. And we described a couple of family nights ago now how Dave and Leslie had felt called to come to Kettering. We introduced them to you so that you could spend some time getting to know them. And we invited you to let us know then what you thought of them. And especially as we presented them for eldership, we said, look, please, will you inundate us with encouragements and thanks and even questions or concerns or whatever, because we want to know that the church is behind us, as we felt like God was calling Dave and Leslie to be an elder in the church here and to lead the team here. And I've got to say, we've just had some lovely emails and some real encouragements. And I know other words have been spoken along the way. And there's just been a resounding amen. Would you like to just echo that?
Yeah.
The amen about appointing Dave today as an elder in the church here. So that's what we want to do. But church, I just want to say, this isn't just some kind of procedure we're going through. I want us to be in faith for what we're doing here today. I think this is something really significant for the church. I mean, we've been preparing, the team that have come with me today have been preparing ourselves, fasting and praying for you and for your church and for this appointment today. And I believe that something very significant is going to happen. As we appoint Dave, there's going to be an impartation of power, authority, and the presence of God for this whole next season of what God is leading you into. That's my expectation. I want us to be expectant. Let's not just go through the motions. Let's be expectant of what God is going to do amongst us. So that's what we're going to do. PJ and I, along with Angela, we come as apostolic designates to join with your current elders in the laying on of hands for the appointment of Dave. Not only as an elder, actually, but also as the leader of the team of elders. So we're going to ask him for a double anointing. Okay? But before we get there, I've brought a bunch of guys with me. I just want to introduce Ruth and Darren to you, who know Dave and Leslie from of old. They don't look old enough, but actually they've been around a bit. Ruth's got a phenomenal prophetic gift, and I've invited her to share what God's given her today. And I know Angela and PJ as well may well have words to share. So I just want to give some space right now. Have we got another microphone? Yeah. Do you want to just come and prophesy to share what is on your heart? Sorry, they did have warning of this. I'm not just putting it on them.
Hello. So I've been thinking about you all this week. And I just feel like God wants to encourage you that you've got something really good here. And as Dave sort of comes into eldership here, I feel like the season's going to change for you. And I feel like the season's going to be a time of fulfillment of dreams and promises that God's given you, individually but corporately as well. So I feel like I need to encourage you to dig out the prophecies that you've had over the years, personally and corporately, to look at them again. And as we were driving down, I just started thinking about that, thinking, well, how do I bring that? And I was reminded of Bartimaeus, Mark 10, if you want to read it. He shouted out to Jesus as he was passing by, and everyone told him to stop. And Jesus turned to him and said, "What is it that you want?" And he said, "I want to see." And he said, "Your faith has healed you." And what he did, he stood up and he took off his cloak. And so I feel like that's what God is asking of you, corporately and individually. Stand up, throw off your cloak, throw off the thing that protects you, throw off the thing that is your security, and just call out to him. Remind him of the promises that he's given you. Remind him of the dreams that you've got, and remind him of the prophecies that you've had, because now is the time of fulfillment of those things.
So good.
It says in Jeremiah 12, 5, "If you've raced with men on foot and they've worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan?" And I just feel, Dave and Leslie, you've run with men and they haven't tired you out. And it hasn't always been easy. It's been a long, hard slog at times. You've done well. You've done so well. And God says, it's the season, the change of season. Now you'll run with horses. You're going to run with horses in the thickets, right into the warfare. And as open door, you're going to run with horses. God is going to take you on into a new season of excitement, exhilaration. You've all run with men, and it's been fine. And God says, now we're going to do some stuff. You ready for it, church? You ready? We're going to do some stuff. And Dave is very apostolically anointed, and he travels. And you're going to travel. Some of you are going to travel. There's going to be church planting come out of this this body of people. For those who thought, I can't do any of this. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Because something is changing in this church. It's been well prepared. The foundation is so good. And I commend Adrian and Tris for the good foundation. And now you can build from there. And you're going to run with horses in a whole new way. Well done, Dave and Leslie. Well done.
Hello, good morning. It's great to be here this morning. My name's PJ from the King's Arms, and if I hadn't had the chance to meet you, I'd love to perhaps catch you at the end and chat to you and introduce myself. And as I was praying this morning, I started off praying for Dave and Leslie, but I found myself actually praying for you as a congregation, as a family of believers. And my reading this morning was from 2 Chronicles, where Solomon is preparing to build the temple, and he goes to the king of Tyre, and he says, "Will you send me these master craftsmen to come and help me about this work?" And I just felt reminded that when God does a work, often he will raise up somebody to lead it, but he will draw in others from all over the place to be part of it. And I felt like God wanted to say to you this morning, you are not here by accident. that God has purposes in having you in Kettering for such a time as this. Acts 17 says that basically God ordains the times and the places where we should live. So God has decided when and where you should live, that you should be based here now for such a time as this. And so I just wanted to recognize those of us who never grew up in Kettering. This isn't where we were born. And to recognize that God has got you here now for his purposes. He's drawn you here just like Solomon drew in craftsmen and experienced men and women to help build God's temple. So if you are from another place, you were born somewhere else, would you do me a favor and just stand to your feet right now? Because I just want to pray for you. Okay. Wow. Just look around, people. Look around. The two people who were born in Kettering, you're now the ministry team. Why don't I just pray? Because look around. God is assembling an army. So let me just pray for you. Spirit of God, come right now, we pray. Thank you, Father. This is not just about Dave and Leslie. You have drawn it together, an army from literally different corners of the globe. For such a time as this, that you have ordained that every single man and woman standing right now, you've ordained that they would be here now. You've ordained the times and places where they should live. And so we speak right now over you an anointing to build the temple of God, the church of God, where he has placed you. We say you are not here by accident. You're not just here because of a job move or by a chain of circumstances. You are here because the Spirit of God has led you to this place. And we speak fruit as a result. We speak the increase and expansion, not just of your church, but of your kingdom in this town. That you would see each person here as on assignment by the Spirit of God for all that you've got for them. And I thank you for every person that was born in Kettering, that you decided they would be born here. And they would live at this time. So, Father, we want to live lives of expectancy, seeing that you will use us as your emissaries, your ambassadors for this time and place. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was just reminded, so the prophetic grounding, if you like, for what we're doing today, I think goes back a few years. Some of you may have heard about a word about the reshaping of a boat. Anybody heard of this prophetic word that's been spoken over the church? And the idea was that the boat was kind of round in shape. It was like one of those theme parks, you know, where it goes around the Congo Rapids, I think it is. And they go round and round, and the boat is round, and everything is round, and it just keeps going around. And God says, I'm reshaping it. I'm putting a prow in the boat. I'm giving it direction and impetus for the future. And I just want to announce that I feel that this today is the fulfillment of that word. I believe that Dave taking the lead of this team at this time is forming the prow. It's giving it direction, it's giving it impetus, and my expectation is that the church is just going to go from here. It's going to grow, it's going to go, it's going to expand, it's going to change things. And the other thing I was reminded of is your name, Open Door. This is another prophetic word I'm aware of that's over the church at the moment, that Open Door originally, it's like the vision of Open Door was to be an open door to the community. The community will come in. That's a wonderful picture, and that still remains. That is still an important part of the prophetic foundations for this church. But I also believe that Open Door is about going out. It's about an apostolic commission going out to the nations, affecting the nations. I also want to announce the beginning of the fulfillment of that, a new level of apostolic anointing being released on this community in Jesus' name. So I do, what Ruth said is what I was feeling as well. This is the season of fulfillment of many prophetic words. So dust them off, even your own individual prophetic words. Words that you've been waiting for fulfillment. I think this is a season of fulfillment. So this is the time to get out your own prophetic words as well and just say, come on, God, what about us now? What about my family? What about my situation? Okay, so I think that's the prophetic basis, the foundation that we're working on today, a foundation of fulfillment like that. So we're going to do this appointment now, and normally what we do when we appoint elders, we just bring them up the front, lay hands on them, and it's, you know, bish, bash, bosh, and it's done. I really felt like we needed to do a bit of a journey this morning, because I think this is a bit different. How many people know Kettering's a bit different? And I felt like, well, what we've got here is a senior leader who is handing on the baton to another senior leader. So we want to do that first. We're welcoming in a new senior leader for the team. We've already got a team. Well, it's a partnership, actually, Tristan and Adrian. So the second part, so stage one, is we want Adrian to pray and hand over the baton formally in front of you to Dave. Got that? Stage two, we want Adrian and Tris to welcome Dave as their new leader, as the leader of the team. Welcome him as an elder and welcome him into the team. Stage three, me and Angela and PJ are then going to lay hands on Dave with your elders standing around them, and we're going to officially commission him and appoint him as an elder in the church. Stage four, are you staying with us? Stage four, we want the whole church to receive and welcome and commend these elders and to bless the elders' families as well. Are you up for that? How many stages are we going for? We're going for four. Okay, let's start stage one then. If I forget any, can you remind me? So Adrian, and we invite Dave. Let's just welcome Dave up now.
Cool. The process that one of the things God spoke to me is when I gave my daughter to her future husband, and at that moment you let something go that is the most precious. Okay, you don't stop being dad, you don't stop loving, but the dynamics are changed, and perhaps that's what's happening. So I don't stop loving you, still love the church, but the dynamics change. And so am I welcoming you, or what am I doing?
You're handing over the
handing
baton.
Handing over, okay. Good, I've forgotten already. Okay. So in the sense of handing over you, the church, and my heart, Dave, I want to hand over my heart, my soul, my spirit to Jesus, and put you in there as well. It's great to give you the leadership and team of Open Door. It's absolute delight. I am so thrilled. Yeah. So Jesus, this is your beautiful church. Well, I'm so thankful for all that you have done in her. You still have. Lord, thank you for your hand of grace on Corinne and I. And in this journey, Lord, thank you. You have knitted us together with Dave and Leslie and us and many others. And so, Father, I just want to hand on, Lord, that baton of leadership, initiative, and steering that comes with team leader. Lord, I'll hand that on with such delight. Lord, such a privilege. Mm. Lord, not so much giving away, but Lord, seeing someone else run. Mm. Lord, seeing someone else fly in what they've called. Lord, it's less about me letting go. Lord, it's more about, now, Dave, you run with all the grace and energy and life that God gives. So bless you, Dave. Here's Open Door Church. She's yours in the team leader sense.
Amen. Well, who thinks that this deserves a prophetic action? I think you should run round the room. No, it's okay. I'd like you to literally hand the baton. Let's just shake hands, if you like. Very English, I know, but just shake hands. Yeah, this is it.
Have it.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to ask Tristan and Adrian now to formally welcome Dave, and they can both pray for Dave again and welcome him into the team and whatever you've got to share. Cool. Tris.
It's really good. As we're all different personalities. If you're married, you'll recognise your wife is very different from you. It's a good thing, usually. And actually, as leaders, we're all very different. And one of the things for me that Dave brings, he's just really steady. Mm. There's a wisdom and a thoughtfulness. He's not rushed. So for me and Adrian, you may have noticed at times we kind of like to get out there, go grab it. Actually, Dave brings a real steadiness and a wisdom in his pacing of the life of the church. And as we've kind of worked together, for me, that's just one of the greatest things that he adds. A whole host of wisdom, but a pacing in God for the sustainable growth of the church. And I love that about you, Dave. It is absolutely great. So thank you.
Okay, Adrian, do you want to add anything more?
Yeah, we can pray as well.
Yeah.
I was reminded of the verse from Galatians that Paul wrote. He said, James, Cephas and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognised the grace given to me. That was good. We shook hands. Dave, we give you as a team the right hand of fellowship because we recognise the grace given to you.
Yes, good.
They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. So there was an apostolic, right, you go for those folks, we're going for these. So let's go for the nations, Dave. And all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor. The very thing. And I feel like actually almost that this is about the poor. I feel in God it's not just an appointment, but this is about something for the poor that changes, like a stone in a pond that has ripples that go way further than we could ever imagine. And so Father, Open Door Church, we welcome Dave. Lord, we welcome him as leader, as team leader. We welcome him as a team of elders. Lord, we delight to submit to one another. Lord, our hearts are open before you and Dave. Lord, all the grace, let it run over us. Lord, let your joy and your spirit fill us as we knit and grow. Father, thank you for your hand on us from before and looking forwards. Holy Spirit, thank you. You're the one that call and shape. God, and we want to see Dave released in all his shape. Lord, for Tris and I, Lord, release us in all our shape. Father, have all your flow on us and then the church and your mission and kingdom. Lord, because this is all for you. Lord, this is an act of worship. Father, less ceremony. Lord, it's worship, delight before you. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Father, we thank you that you gave this gift to us in Dave. Lord, we didn't particularly make a call and he came. You led him to us. And we would celebrate that. Lord, we see and accept and rejoice in the role that he has of leading us as a team. Lord, thank you that as we as a team lead the church, he leads us as a team. And we celebrate the grace on him for that. Father, we pray your anointing, your blessing. Father, you're growing. Lord, he's getting long in the tooth already, but there is much more to grow in wisdom and grace. And Father, particularly, I just sense you a grace in praying for the sick. Lord, I would pray that you would lead Dave as he leads us in praying for the sick, in bringing the gospel in words and actions to this town and region and other nations. Thank you that you have brought him in to lead us. We love that, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. So good. Dave, would you just step forward a bit and you guys can stand there. That's great. Angela, would you like to join us and PJ? We're just going to lay hands on you. That's the model, the apostolic model, is that we lay hands on an elder. We haven't got there yet. Number four in a minute. Thanks for the... so that's the apostolic model, is that we lay hands on Dave for an impartation of authority. And this is spiritual warfare. You do realize that, church, don't you? So we want you to stand as we pray for them now. Let's stand together.
Here's David says in Psalm 16 that your lot is secure and your boundaries have fallen in pleasant places. And it's with great pleasure I've known you for quite a while and have walked with you. And it's with great pleasure that I lay hands on you to anoint you with such a power of the Holy Spirit, with a breakthrough anointing. You've broken through. You're running with horses. And I pray a breakthrough anointing on you in all different ways. and that healing anointing. I know that you have the gift of healing to a high degree. Now more, Lord. So it is a commissioning of you as an elder and a team leader, a lead elder, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Dave, I just speak over you many sons and daughters.
Yeah.
Many spiritual sons and daughters. So it's a commissioning to lead the team, but also to raise up, to pull through, to encourage, to build up many young men and women, many middle-aged men and women, many older men and women, to have many spiritual sons and daughters. And we commission you to not just lead, but to father in this place, and to father other leaders. We commission you not just to oversee spreadsheets, but to bring through sons and daughters, men and women of faith and courage and confidence, who have an ear attuned to you, men and women who know their Heavenly Father because they've seen something of that in their lead elder. We commission you to raise up sons and daughters in the name of Jesus. We bless you mightily.
So, Dave, the church here at Kettering recognize you as an elder and as the leader of the elders' team. And on the basis of that recognition, we lay hands on you and we commission you. We appoint you in the name of Jesus and we release authority to you to lead in Jesus' name in this place. We affirm you, we strengthen you, we recognize you, we commission you, we send you. We send you in the name of Jesus. We send this church with this apostolic commission to go and change the culture of Kettering and the ends of the earth. And we speak mission, mission authority. We commission you, church, to mission in the name of Jesus. Go into all the world and make disciples, cast out demons, heal the sick, and all of the shebang in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We say, Lord, this is a day that's marked in heaven, and this is irreversible progress of kingdom advance. We speak that now in the name of Jesus, and we release authority and breakthrough. Dave, I see a breaker anointing in you. I release the breaker anointing in the name of Jesus. May many people come to salvation, many sons and daughters, many delivered, many healed, many lives transformed, a whole town transformed. May poverty be transformed in this place in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh. Thank you, Lord. I love you. We just love it if Leslie and Corin and Ali, is Ali around? Ali, would you just come and stand with us as well? Because these guys, they serve you too, don't they? And church, we just want everybody. You can crowd around if you want. You want to just come up and crowd around and just bless them, lay hands on them. Come now. Go on. She's going to give us some style. I need style.
Style. I want you to leave your chairs. If you've got handbags, bring it with you, that kind of thing. Well, yes. I want you to leave your chairs and come forward. And then the first few lay hands on. Then you lay hands on those so that we've got right to the back, each one laying hands on, so the whole church is actually involved. Come. I've done this before. Now you lay hands. Now you lay hands on her. And you lay hands on, so that everybody's laying hands on the person in front of them, in front of them, in front of them. There we are. And somebody take a photo of the church in action for the future. Yeah.
Somebody wants to come up here and take a photo.
Yeah. The whole church in this together. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Okay, we're going to count to three. One, two, three, pray. Raise your voices. Come on. Karasha haramado shihiribi. Eshihiriba harolo shiri. Come on, let's pray in tongues now. Come on. If you pray in tongues, just pray in tongues. Just pray in the Spirit. Just raise your voices. Push in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God. Do you want to pray over the family? Okay, we're just going to pray for these guys. We're just trying to work out who's going to pray. Yeah, you're going to pray? All right. Let's have a couple of people just pray out where you are. Just pray out. Just short prayers. Just pray out short prayers for the...
Father, we are grateful. Thank you for every good gift you've given us.
Yes.
Now make us graceful. Fill us with your grace and power, O God.
Heaven rejoices today, man, this taking place, and there's a power, Lord, that the enemy will be quaking at.
Amen.
Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name, your blessing on Dave and on the team and everything that's going to happen, Lord, in the future. We look into you, blessing your holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for those who have been faithful, for those who have followed you, for those who have paved the way for today. Lord, I thank you for Tris and Ali, for Adrian and Corrine, for Adrian and Anne, for those who set up this church and who have run with it so far and so faithfully. Lord, we pray that you will bless their faithfulness and, Lord, that you will just build on that foundation that has been made, Lord, and that this church will become just so amazing in your name that people will come from all around just to find you and that you will meet with them.
Amen.
Lord, thank you.
Team, I pray that, come Holy Spirit, you empower each one of them and that you give them the ability to take risks, but risks in your name, because that's what you are seeking to do. You want each one of us to take risks for you, to speak when we're prompted to speak, to act when we're prompted to act, and not be ashamed of your gospel and not be ashamed of you in this place. In Jesus.
Yes,
we do. Yeah, and thank you, Heavenly Father, for the visual pictorial representation of that, even now through the front, going down and out through the doors of the church into the community. We pray that as this church has been round, it's now reshaped and it's ready to go out. And so we pray for this ripple effect. Holy Spirit, we pray that there would be a ripple effect that goes out into this community that changes it radically for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Let's just raise our voices and sing. Let's sing this one.
Thank you very, very much. Leslie and I appreciate your prayers very, very much, and we are so enjoying ourselves living in Kettering. I just want to go back to the words that came about God wanting to fulfill the promises that he has given to many of you and given to us as a church. About 46 years ago, I had been a Christian for about a year. Took me a year before I went to church, and I'd just been to my first ever Sunday service. And I think it was on a Tuesday morning, and I was just going through my reading. I'd got used to reading the Bible, and I read these verses from Proverbs. It says, "Be sure you know the condition of your flocks and give careful attention to your herds. For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations." And when I read that some 46 years ago, having been to church once, I knew that God wanted me to look after his people, and that was going to be the thing that would determine my life. And for the next 10 years, I determined to learn enough of the Bible to be able to feed his people. But then riches do not endure forever, so that gave me an eternal focus. And then it had a crown is not secure for all generations. And I just, for 45 years, I thought, what on earth does that all about? That sounds like something goes wrong somewhere and you lose your place. And that happened about 18 months ago. But then the rest of the verse reads this: "When the hay is removed and the new growth appears and the grass from the hills is gathered in, the lambs will provide you with clothing and the goats with the price of a field." And God spoke to me 46 years ago and said, "I will provide for you a house." And Over the next 46 years, married Leslie, moved to London, and several times we tried to buy a house, and every time it failed for no reason whatsoever. But every time it failed, and well, basically, I live with these verses, so I'm thinking about them all the time. But every time it failed, we went back to this. God, when the hay is removed and the new growth appears, you will provide for us our housing. We've been here a year, and particularly with the youth and this substantial sudden growth, and there was a real sense of newness about the church. And Leslie and I began to pray around about Easter, come on, God, the hay's being removed. We've walked out of what was, you know, all the troubles we had a couple of years ago. We've walked out of that. We're seeing new growth. And so 4 weeks ago, we moved into our first ever house that we owned. <laughs> 46 years, God held his promise. If we have promises in our heart, let's stir them up, because this is a day when the promises are being fulfilled.
It's fun, wasn't it? So I get the privilege of speaking the word of God to you now, and I've sort of wondered what to say on this auspicious day. And the thing that kept coming back to me is church is a family. And what we've just done is a family thing. We've just welcomed into the family new spiritual mothers and fathers. So I want to talk today about church is family, not an organization. And I just want us to fall in love with the church all over again. The church is the body of Christ. There's nothing like it. It's the most beautiful thing in the universe. That's what I want to talk about. It's all about family, actually. It's about family, where God is our Father, and we are his sons and daughters. And the worldwide church is your family, too. Did you know that? And we're growing together, you see, in this great family likeness, where by the work of his Spirit, we're being remade in the image of our Father, and we're even beginning to look like our elder brother. Have you noticed that? Now, ever been somewhere around the world and recognized another family member? You think, I think they're a believer. I can tell there's just something about them. There's a family resemblance. That's what we're talking about. So take a look around you, even here at Kettering. Look around you, because these people are your family. These are your brothers and your sisters. So have a good look around at them. You know the old saying, you can't choose your family. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. You see, we're not just any group, any random group of people meeting here today. No, this is a family reunion. And this is the people of God. We're going to eat together later on, because it's a celebration of what it means to be a family. So God the Father sent his Son. That's family. Yes. For the church. You see, the Son of God didn't come all the way from heaven to suffer and to die, to lay down his life, to be raised again to start a business. You know that, don't you? You know, church is not a business to make money. It's not a business to promote different personalities. It didn't come to make us employees. No, he gave us the right to be called sons, daughters, part of his family. And we're made part of his family, not because we've worked our way up and got hired. No, we're born into it. Which also means that we can't get fired when we mess up either. There's nothing that you can do to change the fact that you're family. You're part of the family. Church is not for professionals. We are called the children of God. And how many of you know the simplicity of children? Now, I wonder sometimes at how sophisticated we've become. You know, how slick and polished. Well, maybe not a Kettering, I don't know. But And, you know, this is fine, but, you know, I wonder if in a fractured world such as ours, the next move of God will be about the simplicity of family. See, church is a family home, not a restaurant. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you want a good service, you want a great atmosphere, you want all your needs met, you want good value for money, and if it doesn't match up, what do? You call the manager and say, look, this isn't good enough, make a complaint, or perhaps you just never go there again. But church isn't a restaurant. It's not for consumers. This is God's household. That's what Paul says in 1 Timothy. It's his family home, and we are all invited to play our part in the service of one another and of the king, to be waiters in his court. You see, you can be a consumer of the church, or you can be family. You know, in our family, we all take turns around the house. Anybody else? Yeah, we all take turns. Someone cooks, another clears up, usually me, does the washing. Someone does the washing, I do the ironing. Someone turns up the thermostat, I turn it down. But we all play our part, and we're all needed in this family. Look, say to the person next to you, just turn and say, you're needed in this family. Yeah. We're needed. We're needed in this family. We're part of this body, and everyone is needed. Church isn't just even a building. Church isn't a building. You know, there are some great buildings around. A couple of years ago, we were in Italy and saw one of the most beautiful church buildings to die for. Seriously, Florence Cathedral. I can't pronounce the Italian. I would embarrass myself. But it was just so beautiful. It was awesome. It was staggering. The artistry, the way the light caught the bricks that were multicolored and the windows and the sun, because there's loads of sun in Italy. Beautiful. But it's not God's house. That isn't God's house. He doesn't live in buildings unless it's a building made of people. Because the church is his body, a building made of people. A people for God's own possession, 1 Peter 2:9. God lives with a people that belong to him, and they are his family. God isn't even about, church isn't even about the meetings. You know, this might be a bit controversial. Church isn't even about the meetings. You don't have to go and see your family to be related. Doesn't change anything. If you never go and visit your family, you're still family. It's just sad if you don't want to visit your family, if you don't want to be with them. But it's not about the meetings. Actually, it's about a relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. And when you know that love, well, you just want to be around him and where he is. And where is he? In the church. That's where he lives, amongst his people. Family, family, family. It's always been about family. It started with a family in the Old Testament who were told to go out and fill the whole earth with family. Then that great promise that came through a family that all the nations of the world would be blessed. We're part of that family. And it was through the lineage of one royal family that Jesus would eventually be born. And the language of family is throughout the New Testament too, especially when it comes to the people of God, starting with Jesus, who distinguished on one occasion between his natural family and his spiritual family when he said to his disciples one day, here are my mothers and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, my brother, and my sister. And then throughout the book of Acts, the familial connections are obvious. So, for example, after Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with their brothers and sisters. That's how they were described, and encouraged them. And then Paul, writing to Timothy, instructs him in how to treat people in the church. He says, don't rebuke an older man, but encourage him like you would your dad. younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity, and so on. We are family. Are you getting the message yet? Anybody getting this message? We're all family. See, the church is made up of mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters of all different ages and stages, shapes, sizes, characters, personalities. We've got some of them, haven't we? Some personalities amongst us. We're not colleagues. We're not associates. We're not even volunteers. We're family. And the understanding of this has got to go to the root of all that we do together as church. So church as family affects how we do church. It affects how we care for one another. It's not just for a certain specialist few to take responsibility. In a family, we all have to take responsibility. It affects how we add people to the church. You're not joining a club, you're being welcomed into a family. It's different. And so people need to be integrated well. They need to feel that they belong. But especially today, I want to say that church as family affects how the church is led. Because this is about more than a position. It's not a title, or it's more than just the appointment of an elder. There's no doubt about it that leadership in the church is important, isn't it? I mean, church isn't an organization, but neither is it a disorganization either. I mean, it's just like any other family. I mean, can you imagine what would happen in your family if nothing was ever planned? Families have got to be led and fed, organized and grown up if they're to thrive and ultimately to reproduce. So leadership is needed, but what kind of leadership? What kind of tone are the leaders of the church to bring? Well, I'm convinced it's about fathers and mothers, because they are what lead families. Fathers and mothers. And so in Paul's leadership, we can see a fathering model. And this is obvious, that this is what Paul believes when he writes to the Corinthians, who are confused about their role in his life. He says, I'm writing to you in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Because even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to grow in my likeness. Imitate me. I'm your dad. You know, interestingly, Paul's fathering model didn't come from his religious training, which was all about knowing and obeying rules, which Jesus says weighed the people down with burdens that they could hardly carry. Neither did it come from the secular world, where Jesus tells us the Gentile leaders would lord it over them. No, Paul modeled his apostleship on the family because, well, he was a son. Because he knew he was a son and God was his father. And so he says, well, imitate me. Do what I do. Understand what I understand. I'm just a son too. And it's about spiritual fathers. And I think this helps me as I think of all kinds of leadership in the church. Leaders, you see, lead and tell people what to do. You know, leaders are under pressure because they have to have all the answers before you ask the questions, because it's all about position and task, getting the job done. But when I view church as a family, and my leadership model is that of a father, I'm motivated and function completely differently. Rather than dominate, I want to see my children grow up and released. Rather than feel threatened, I want to see people flourish. Rather than control, I want to encourage and guide. Leaders who parent grow sons and daughters who will themselves in time become fathers and mothers too. It creates an atmosphere where everyone flourishes and reaches their full potential in God. That's our job as leaders, as spiritual fathers. Yeah. To work ourselves out of a job and hand things on to future generations. We're trying to work ourselves out of a job up here. Did you know that? I want to touch on spiritual mothers too in a moment, but first I just want to acknowledge that what I've said may not have been your experience of spiritual fathers. and that your experience of church may not have always been positive, and I know that because I travel over into lots of different churches and different situations. And I appreciate that for some, their experience of church hasn't always been positive. And this is because, just like other families, church families can also be dysfunctional. They can be divided. They can be damaging. And I just felt, and this is a bit brave, so I hope you can go with this, but I know that you've been led by Adrian, so you're kind of used to this prophetic action stuff. But I know that there are some that may have been hurt by those who say that they are fathers. And so what I want to do is to release some of you from the pain and bring some healing into those kinds of relationships. And what I want to do, first of all, as a father visiting your house, I want to be a kind of representative leader and say to anyone, if I could look you all in the eyes, one at a time, face to face, I'd want to say this to you: I'm sorry. I am sorry if you have ever been hurt, damaged, or even abused by a leader. I'm genuinely sorry for the hurt that you've experienced or the damage you've sustained at the hands of any leader or any authority figure. I want to say that wasn't right. It shouldn't have happened. It was wrong. You're right. They should have protected you and your family. They should have honored you, and they should have given you a safe place to grow. And it may be parents that I'm talking about. It may be teachers. My teacher said to me, "You'll never amount to anything. I wish I could show her what I've become." You know, but I realized that hindered me for years. They said, "You'll never pass an exam. You'll never amount to anything." Well, it's terrible. It could be teachers or it could be other church leaders. And you may never hear an apology from their lips, but I want to ask you to take my apology as if it was from them, because it's a prophetic action. I'm sorry for the hurt that you've experienced. And God knows. You know, he knows. He knows. And he will judge and he will bring the ultimate recompense. Is that okay if we leave it with him? He'd probably do a better job than me anyway, or you. Yeah? So I want to ask you to do something brave today, at this sort of beginning of new leadership here in the church. I want you to decide today to let go of your hurt and choose to forgive. That's a bit audacious of me to say that, isn't it? Because I don't know all of you, but that's why I can get away with it. I don't know all of your circumstances or situations, but I know people. I want to ask you to forgive. You know, it's the only way forward. To forgive and then to receive healing. He can help you to do this. He will restore you and help you to honor and trust again. Okay, this is a poignant moment. I just want to pause for a minute. I want you to think about that. Make that decision before God in his presence and choose to forgive. Do you want to just bow your heads and just think for a moment? I'm just going to pray, and if you're able to, just say amen afterwards. I'll pray a prayer, and I'll just say, Father, I want to take a step of faith today. And Father, I choose to forgive those that have hurt me, those in authority. I choose to release them from obligation to me any further and set myself free. And Father, I trust you to bring healing to my life, to restore me, and strengthen me for the future, in Jesus' name. If you agree with me, church, just say amen. 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 Wonderful. But you know, this isn't just about fathers in the church. I want to mention mothers, otherwise surely I'll get in trouble. But also, I don't think the Bible advocates single-parent models of fathering in the church, leadership in the church. I think we need both. Do you agree? We need fathers and mothers. And we want to see powerful, liberated, confident women in the church too. Yes? I'm just checking. I'm feeling a bit out on the edge here. Women who know who they are in God and are fearless in doing all that he tells them to do. That's what we want, isn't it?
Yes.
I know I'm married to one of them over there. So that's what we want, spiritual mothers. And I've already mentioned about Jesus' recognition of spiritual mothers amongst his disciples. He pointed out, he said, look, these are my mothers, my brothers and sisters. Actually, there were many women around Jesus who were part of the team. And hey, who did he appear to first when he rose from the dead? The women, come on. And Paul also acknowledges the role of mothers and their powerful influence in the lives of others. So Timothy, for example, 2 Timothy 1:5, he says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. And also how he personally benefited from spiritual mothers in the church. In Romans, he says, greet Rufus. What a name. I mean, that name should come back, don't you think? Yes. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. Actually, I have myself benefited greatly from spiritual mothers in the church. We have a really great one of them here with us today. This is Angela. She has been a spiritual mother to me. How shall I describe the influence that she's had in my life? Well, she said some pretty challenging things to me, and she's got under my skin like no man would ever dare to do. She's made me believe in myself and stretch myself. And how many people have heard Angela's phrase, go for it? I can't say it like her. But it's a phrase you'll often hear. I just want to honor you. Yes, Thank you, Angela. Yes, but we need mothers as well as fathers in the church. And you know, I find it hard to define exactly what mothers bring that is different to fathers, but it is different. And I know we need both. This is the biblical model, fathers and mothers raising powerful sons and daughters who will themselves grow to be mothers and fathers themselves. And I tried really hard to define mothers and fathers separately, but I found it almost impossible to do without resorting to stereotypes. I watched this phenomenal talk by a lady called Jen Wilkins, who you may have heard of. She did a great job of talking about how men and women are different. I recommend it to you. But to be honest, I got really wound up by some of the things she said, because I am not this outdoorsy kind of lumberjack man myself. I am the biggest softie in the world. I cry at almost anything. So by her definition, I'm a mother. So there you go. But it's a good start. So I'm not going to resort to stereotyping. Rather, let me say this. You can spot a spiritual father or a mother by the effect they have on you. There's air to breathe around them. You feel built up by them. You feel released by them. That's what it's like to be around a spiritual father or mother. You find courage by being around them. You feel safe, but you also want to go and conquer the world. That's a spiritual father or mother in your life. Also, please note that your spiritual mother or father may not be the same as someone else's, just like naturally. Now, there are just as many spiritual parents in the world, I believe, as there are children of God. But we all need them in our lives and in the church. And this, I just want to say this, it comes from a friend, a good friend called Wendy Mann, who is another powerful mother in the church. And she said recently that it's not just fathers growing fathers and mothers growing mothers that we need in the church. Because how many people know this, that sons need mothers as well as fathers, and daughters need fathers as well as mothers spiritually? And I know what she means. As a father, I've got both a son and a daughter, and they each need something different from me to what they need from Alison. And it's the input of both that gives them the balance they need. And I believe it's the same in the church. But for various reasons, I don't think we've done that very well. Godly fathers are needed to help raise confident and powerful spiritual daughters. And godly mothers are needed to raise confident and powerful spiritual sons. We have to do this. And it's all part of being family. So I want to finish with a bit of a risky question. Last week in our church, a little while ago, I got the church to stand up and agree to be with us for another year. We do this probably once a year. Say, are you with us for another year? Let's just show your commitment to get stuck in. And there's something profound and powerful about agreement when the church agrees on something. So I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you, is this church your family? And I think that's a really powerful question for you to know the answer to. Have you thought about it this way? And if it is your family, get stuck in. Commit. Be present. Pray. Grow. And learn how to be powerful in God. Stop sitting around the edges. Just observing. Just going to a meeting. Be the church. Do what's needed to make yourself at home. Don't wait for somebody else to do that for you. You know, if you come to my home and you make yourself a cup of tea, that means you're making yourself at home. Do what's needed to make yourself at home. Get to know people. Commit to people. Invite them round to your house. Go round and see them, if that's okay with them. But learn how to serve around the house. You know, there are so many opportunities. And you won't know everyone, but make sure you get to know someone and learn. So is this a place where you can thrive and feel at home? I know that's what your leaders want it to be, but it often comes from finding spiritual mothers and fathers who release and believe in you. So ask God to show you who they are. They're not always the leaders. They don't have to be. Finally, for some of you, I just feel like I know quite a few of you now. I've been a few times. And do you know, you have got some amazing people in this church. You have got some spiritual mothers and fathers that need to stand in their calling and say, I know this. I'm going to own this. I'm a spiritual mother and father in this church. And I want to love people like that. I want to be available. You know, because some people, you know, in church get too comfortable as sons and daughters. There comes a point where you have to say, right, I think it's time for me to grow up and be a father and a mother now. I'm going to take some responsibility around here. Is that okay with you to say that? I love you, you know, this is good for you. This is good stuff. So be a cheerleader in the church. Well, don't dress like that, but, you know, act like that. Could be awkward. But ask yourself, who is God putting in my way as a spiritual mother and father? Who am I meant to be encouraging? Who am I meant to be investing in for this next season of the church? So I just want to finish really with just praying for spiritual mothers and fathers. And this is a brave thing, but you know, if you feel that sense of, I just feel that calling, I want to do that, I want to own this, I want to ask you to do something brave and just stand with us. Come on, let's just stand up. I'm up for this. I want to be a spiritual mother and father. I don't want to be a child anymore. I want to own this. Wow. And do you know, look around, and if there are people you think should be standing, just go and encourage them. So you are too, yeah. And I just want to pray for a fresh anointing on you in the context of leadership today. This is what we're doing. We're appointing leaders. We're releasing spiritual authority for the future of this church. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just lay hands on one another. If you're next to somebody or near somebody, just put your hand on them. So why don't you say to God, first of all, say, Lord, here I am. Say this after me. Lord, here I am. Use me as a spiritual father or mother, whichever you are, to bless this church and to grow and reproduce many sons and daughters in your kingdom, even if they don't know you yet. Lord, give me children. In Jesus' name. Father, I just want to commission the whole church today to go and make disciples, to go and grow people in your likeness, to be spiritual mothers and fathers who pray and grow and are models for many to follow. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.
Great. Thanks, God. Really good.
Okay, because we're